WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky Friday. That's right, TGIF. It's January 6th, 2017, and boy, oh boy, do we have a loaded show here on WKAR AM 870. On today's Current Sports, we will get you ready for the big game. That's right, the Detroit Lions are in the playoffs and will play the Seattle Seahawks in a wild card matchup at CenturyLink tomorrow. The Detroit Lions have not won a playoff game in 25 years. Heck, it's been even further than that when you look at when is the last time the Detroit Lions have won a road playoff game. We'll get you ready for that. Plenty of chatter on the Detroit Lions. Actually, we will have a full synopsis on the NFL playoff weekend. And I'll try to answer the question, yes, what exactly is wrong with the Detroit Pistons? Now, that conversation has taken a bit of a different tone, seeing as though the red, white, and royal blue were able to find a way to win over the Charlotte Hornets at home last night, a one-point victory. But no question about it, this Detroit Pistons team has taken a bit of a dip in recent weeks. So we'll chat about that. We'll also get you prepped for the MSU men's basketball game against Penn State tomorrow. And PJ Fleck has a new job. That and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we start with PJ Fleck. That's right, Fleck has left Western Michigan and will become the next head football coach at Minnesota. It's being reported that Fleck will receive a five-year deal at Mini. That's according to ESPN's Brett McMurphy in multiple reports. Fox 9 out in Minneapolis was first to report a tentative agreement between Fleck and Minnesota. Now, Fleck and former LSU coach Les Miles both interviewed for Minnesota's vacant coaching job in the past few days. The 36-year-old Fleck is 30-22 in 4 years at the helm of Western Michigan and has 3 bowl appearances under his belt. We'll have more on that news in the blink of an eye. Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team will play Penn State at the historic Palestra Basketball Stadium. If those walls could talk, folks. It will be the Spartans' 6th all-time visit, but first since 1966. To this day, it's hosted more tournament games than any other building, despite not doing so since 1984. The Palestra has hosted 52 tournament games. Remarkable, right? The Spartans have begun the conference year 3-0, while the Nittany Lions are 1-2 and coming off a heartbreaker at the hands of the Michigan Wolverines. Tip time set for 1 p.m. tomorrow. The MSU women's basketball team will host Nebraska tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Spartans are coming off a conference road opening loss to Purdue, while the Cornhuskers have lost 5 straight, 0-3 to start the Big Ten Conference. The Spartans are still without head coach Susie Merchant, who fainted on the sidelines last weekend. Rooting for her speedy recovery. Looking forward to seeing Susie back on the sidelines soon. A win is a win, no matter how you cut it, right? The Detroit Pistons squeaked by the Charlotte Hornets at home last night. 115-114, an absolute slugfest that I sat and watched throughout its entirety. Now, the Hornets scored 44 points in the fourth quarter. I kid you not, 44 points in the fourth. The majority of those 44 coming at the hands of Kemba Walker. And Marco Bellinelli, he banked in what would have been a game-winning three-pointer, but he did not get it off in time. A very close call there. Now, the story for the Pistons was big man Boban Marjanovic, who in 23 minutes of play had a career-high 19 rebounds, scored 15 points on just 4 shots from the field. He was 9 of 11 from the charity stripe. The Pistons hit the road to play the Portland Trail Blazers tomorrow night. In more NBA news, the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers. It's being reported that they have reached an agreement on a deal to acquire guard Kyle Korver from the Atlanta Hawks. The Cavs and Hawks are still finalizing the terms of the trade, with a 2019 first-round pick and Mike Dunleavy Jr. going to Atlanta. The Cavs and Hawks are planning on a trade call with the league office in New York to finalize the deal today, but will work until then to find a third team to take Dunleavy. The Detroit Red Wings shut out the LA Kings last night on the road 4-0. Andreas Athanasiou keyed a 3-goal first period outburst with a goal and 2 assists to lead the Winged Will to victory. The Wings will now visit the San Jose Sharks tomorrow night, a team that is looking to stop the bleeding, losers of 3 straight. More hockey news. Troy Terry scored the lone shootout goal. Tyler Parson stopped all 5 shots he faced in the tiebreaker, and get this, the United States outlasted Canada 5-4 last night to win the World Junior Hockey title. The game was decided in the 5-round shootout after a 20-minute overtime period. But the Americans won its 4th title and first since 2013. They won all 7 of their games in the tournament, also beating Canada 3-1 on Saturday in the group finale. And last but certainly not least, the Honolulu Blue will travel to Seattle to play the Seahawks in an NFC wild card matchup. Kickoff is set for 8:15 p.m. tomorrow night at CenturyLink Field. The Seahawks were 7-1 at CenturyLink Field this season, with their loss coming to the Arizona Cardinals on Christmas Eve. They have a 9-game home winning streak in the playoffs that dates back to 05 and are 38-6 at home over the past 5 seasons. Remarkable statistics, right? All statistics that go against a Detroit Lions win. The Lions, as I mentioned, have not won a playoff game in 25 years. That's almost as long as I've been on this thing we call Earth. So we'll give you guys a preview of the Lions and Seahawks in just a moment. I want to know, what do you think will happen tomorrow night as your beloved Lions take on Russell Wilson and company? Call in. You know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. So let's stop wasting it. Let's start the show.
Kezar Stadium is jammed with 60,000 fans to see one of pro football's top thrills of the year. The San Francisco 49ers, with Y.A. Tittle passing, get the jump on the Detroit Lions. Owens snags it for the touchdown. And the 49ers look like a surefire bet to clinch the Western title of the National League. Second quarter, Y.A. Tittle clicks again. His pass to Wilson puts the ball on the Detroit 7. And then Tittle's magic arm uncorks another bullseye. Pitching into the end zone to Wilson. And San Francisco has a 20-7 halftime lead. As the second half opens, the 49ers look as though they'll run the Lions right out of Kezar Stadium. Hugh McElhenney breaks away and goes careening through the Detroit team. Yards before he's forced out of bounds. The 49ers settle for a field goal and they lead Detroit 27-7. Seems like a comfortable margin. But suddenly the Lions start to roar and claw back. Tobin Roach connects with Junker for 11. And seconds later, he fires to Cassidy for 14. Tom Tracy worms his way through center for a touchdown. As soon as the Lions get the ball again, Tracy bursts up the middle and then ducks and dodges tacklers all the way. 59 yards to pay dirt. And now the 49ers' lead is down to 6 points. The Lions fans are really roaring now. Rote hits Junker with a pass, and he barrels along to the San Francisco 15. The fourth quarter opens with Tracy wheeling around right end to the 5. And then Gedman scores to give Detroit the victory.
And that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Friday. That was a major throwback, wasn't it? That was a long time ago. I wanted to start the show with that because what you just heard was the last time the Detroit Lions won a road playoff game. Are you kidding me? 1957 was the year, and the Detroit Lions traveled to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. That is the last time the Detroit Lions won a road playoff game. Now, the last time they won a playoff game, period, was 25 years ago. I'm 26. Those statistics just blow your mind, and it really puts in perspective just how tough it is for a Detroit Lions fan. 1957, are you kidding me? Just a few tidbits about 1957. Get this, I want to look up just how times have changed since 57. Get this, the average cost of a new house back then was a little over $12,000. Cars cost more than that now, right? The average monthly rent across the board was $90 an hour. I really wish we could, $90 per month, I should say. I'm sorry. I really wish we could rewind time when it comes to that, right? Oh, my goodness, I'm paying way too much for my rent now. The president was, of course, Dwight D. Eisenhower. And Sputnik 2 was orbiting the Earth. That was the first spacecraft to carry a biological being into space. That's unbelievable. That was the last time the Honolulu Blue pulled off a road playoff victory. Well, the Detroit Lions will try to rewrite history tomorrow on the road at CenturyLink out in Seattle, taking on a Seattle Seahawks team that has not been great. Has not been eye-popping like they usually have been in the past. I mean, this is a team that not too long ago won a Super Bowl. Had an opportunity to win back-to-back Super Bowls, but we all know what happened there. Just hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, that was a pretty ugly way to go out, right? A pretty ugly way to end the year. But this is the first time actually ever that the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks have met one another in the playoffs. First time in NFL history that the Lions and Seahawks will participate in a one-game elimination playoff. And the Lions, we've highlighted this team at the very beginning of the week, discussing how they now come into the playoffs limping. Losers of 3 straight to end the regular season, ideally handing the NFC North Championship on a platter to the Green Bay Packers this past Sunday night. National TV, Aaron Rodgers, discount double check. He was fantastic in that game. Aaron Rodgers has been mind-blowing in these last few weeks of the regular season. So much so that many people are betting on the Green Bay Packers to pull out a Super Bowl championship this year. So, are the Lions going to win? That is the big question here. I've heard mixed emotions. I've seen on social media, many of you out there are buying that the Lions are finally going to end the 3-game losing streak funk and get a win to at least advance out of the first round of the NFL playoffs. While there are many of you that evaluate how the Lions lost those last 3 weeks and say, they have no chance against the dynamic quarterback in Russell Wilson. And, of course, that stout Seattle Seahawks
defense.
Now, when it comes to the pass defense, the Seattle Seahawks has not been great. I mean, you look at how safety Earl Thomas was injured and the fall off and the amount of points that that defense has given up as the end of the year rolled along. But when it comes to their run defense, and that's the big thing for me, that's the thing that I've said constantly about this Detroit Lions team. When they have a balanced attack, they are tough to beat. That offense is tough to slow down. But Theo Riddick is done for the year, and now the Lions will be starting Zach Zinner at running back against what is statistically the number two rushing defense in the league. So when evaluating that stat, it is all going to fall on the arm of Matthew Stafford, a man who is battling through this dislocated finger injury on his throwing hand. It has affected Matthew Stafford. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Lions, a team that also are 0-5 when it comes to all teams who made the playoffs this year. So the upper echelon competition of the NFL, the Lions have not fared well. But again, on the flip side, the Seahawks, who are an 8-point favorite approaching this matchup, the Seahawks have not been great this year. Seattle, just 4-3 in the past 7 games. And only one of those games was against an opponent who made the playoffs. That being the bad man that he is, as Stephen A. Smith would say, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, who proceeded to smack down the Seattle Seahawks in a 38-10 drubbing. Seattle has recently dropped games to the Arizona Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not great teams at all, while barely getting by the San Francisco 49ers last week. So the big question for me is, and again, it's hard to gauge because we don't know how Matthew Stafford is feeling right now. I mean, that finger, though, is a problem for him. What percentage of health is that finger for Matthew Stafford? How much better is the finger, the middle finger, on the throwing hand of Matthew Stafford? And again, it doesn't help that Matthew Stafford's best pass-catching back in Theo Riddick is out for the year. Theo Riddick was a dynamic player. This offense is certainly going to miss him, an explosive player. I mean, you could line Theo Riddick up in the backfield, throw it to him in the slot, and he could pick up a first down. That luxury is no longer there. Don't get me wrong. I think Zach Zinner has shown some great things, dating back to, of course, that loss at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys, where I don't know what happened with the play calling there, but the Detroit Lions decided just not even to hand the ball off to Zach Zinner in the second half. That was a bit puzzling, very puzzling. The Lions now rank just 14th in passer rating at a 93.3, 9th in completion percentage at 65.3, and tied for 13th in yards per pass attempt, averaging a little over 7 yards. Again, all of those numbers have declined since Matthew Stafford injured that middle finger on his throwing hand, clearly affecting his numbers. However, you have to be encouraged when looking at the Seattle Seahawks defense recent slump. With the exception of the LA Rams game, Seattle has allowed 3 quarterbacks to reach a 100 passer rating in just 4 weeks. In the prior 12 games, they had allowed that to happen just 3 times. After Earl Thomas was injured against the Panthers, the pass defense completely fell off the map. So if you're Matthew Stafford, you got to feel a little bit better when looking at those numbers. And here's a glaring stat that shows you just how important Earl Thomas has been to this Seattle Seahawks defense all year. Seattle, with Earl Thomas on the field this year, allowed 7 touchdowns, had 10 picks, and allow quarterbacks to have an average of just a 77.8 passer rating. Mind-blowing numbers. Seattle, without Earl Thomas, they have given up 9 touchdowns, had just 1 INT, and that passer rating, that average passer rating when it comes to opposing quarterbacks has gone up about at least double digits, I should say, 99.5. So 77.8 to 99.5 in that time without ET. That's glaring. That is really glaring, folks. But again, I may be grasping at straws here. I don't want to bog you down with stats here. The question is, you know, do the Lions want to change the culture? That's the big question here, because far too often we've talked about the Detroit Lions underperforming. We've talked about numerous problems when it comes to them, you know, not just getting to the playoffs. And again, you could go back to that Dallas Cowboys game, right? What was that, 2 or 3 years ago, where the Lions, a lot of people felt as though they got gypped by the referees. Well, we all know the call. I won't even bring up nightmares and rehash that moment for Detroit Lions fans, but they were oh so close. But yet so far. That's been the mantra of the Detroit Lions for quite some time now. Oh so close, yet so far, even in their good years. Can the Lions buck the trend? And now, for a second week, they will play one of the most dynamic quarterbacks the game has ever seen. Now, granted, it's been an odd year for Russell Wilson with no running game to speak of, more so now than earlier on in the year. Seattle has had to rely on Wilson more than ever. This year, Russell Wilson set career highs in pass attempts, throwing the ball 63 more times than last year, or almost 4 more times per game. As a result, his completion percentage has dipped 3% from last year. His yards per attempt dropped to the lowest of his career at 7. And oddly, his touchdown numbers dropped 13 from 2015. So odd numbers for Russell Wilson. And it's been a remarkable job by Jim Caldwell, because they've had to put together this defense with duct tape. There have been numerous injuries. Yet players have just stepped up. That next man up mentality has been glaring for the Lions this season. Ziggy Ansah, who's battled injuries. Darius Slay, who's been beaten up this year. Darius Slay, arguably the best defender on that defense. He's been beaten up. But guys have stepped in new roles and flourished. But it's going to be hard to slow down Russell Wilson, folks. Again, the Lions are 8-point dogs in this game. I want to know what you think. Will the Lions top the Seattle Seahawks and move on? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We do have a caller. Andrew is on line one. Andrew, how you doing? You are on Current Sports.
What's up, Al Martin? How you been, sir?
I'm fantastic. What's on your mind, Andrew?
So, first of all, there cannot be a person on the planet that looks at a weather report and thinks the Lions are going to win that game.
Yeah.
Sleet, snow, cold, bad finger for Stafford. I'm not trusting Zach Zenner to run anything that resembles a winning offense. I have another question for you, though. All of your Lions being bad stuff made me think. What is the more depressing drought in sports? The Lions winning one playoff game in 59 years, or the Cubs not winning a World Series in 108?
Oh, clearly that's the Cubs, Andrew. I mean, that's
really
1908. Come on, man. When the Cubs won, I mean, you saw what happened out in Chicago when they won the World Series. I mean, it was pandemonium. I mean, people crying. I mean, you heard all these stories about fans who have been diehard Cubbies fans for decades, you know, shedding tears left and right. Now, granted, it's been a long time for the Detroit Lions. I mean, they have never won a Super Bowl. I mean, they've only won an NFL championship. It's been a long time for the Detroit Lions. But 1908, I got to go with the Cubs on that question.
But one playoff victory.
I know.
Not even so much as, like, not even an NFC championship to speak of.
Right, right. In the last, yeah, again, the last time that the Lions won an NFC, you know, a division championship dates back to 1993. But those historical lows go further back when discussing the Chicago Cubs, though.
I agree with you there. All right, Al. It was good to talk to you, man.
Andrew, good hearing from you. Thanks so much for the call, man.
See ya.
Again, the number to call is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. So, again, I mentioned Theo Riddick being out for the year, and Zach Zinner now assuming that starting running back role. Though Zach Zinner has given the Lions running game a mild shot in the arm, and I do mean mild, it remains one of the worst units still in the entire league. Since Ameer Abdullah's injury in week two, the Lions have only reached 100 rushing yards as a team in one game. That's it. That is it. And you talk about going against the number two rushing defense in the NFL. No opponent has significantly outgained their season-long yards per carry average against the Seattle defense. And their last five opponents were all held to under 100 rushing yards. For the season, Seattle has allowed a league low just 3.4 yards per carry. Zach Zinner, I wish you well, my friend, but you are going to be swimming upstream that entire game. So, the Lions are 8-point dogs. Here's my prediction. I don't think the Lions are winning this game. I'm going with the majority here. I hate to say it. I hate to break the hearts of many Lions fans out there listening as we speak. To be honest with you all, if you are picking the Detroit Lions to win this game, with all the numbers I just threw out, you are speaking more so with your heart than your head. If Matthew Stafford, I must say this though, if Matthew Stafford was healthy, if he had a healthy throwing hand, and if that rush attack showed any signs of life. Now, granted, again, a mild shot in the arm with Zach Zinner. But if they showed any signs of life, more so when it comes to the play calling and giving Zach Zinner more carries. But again, you're going against the number two rush defense in the league. I may sway a different way in this game. But Matthew Stafford not being healthy and watching some of his throws throughout the final few weeks of the regular season. Logically, I can't pick the Detroit Lions. I want to know what you think, though. That's what makes sports talk so great, the variances of opinions. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'm getting a few comments via our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/currentsports. This comment comes from Chris Jenkins. He says, yes, the Lions will win. That's all. He doesn't back it up, but he says, yes, I think, Chris, you're speaking again, more so with your heart than your head here. Logically speaking, I cannot go with the Detroit Lions in this game. Jeff Plum comments and says, quote, it is frightening to think that the Lions are going to Seattle to play at that field, but I am hoping Detroit surprises. Yeah, CenturyLink Field. I mean, we're talking about the 12th man, ruckus crowd, playoff atmosphere. You're going to have to block out distractions. It is very loud in Seattle, which could also make it tough for Matty's staff and that offense to operate as far as communication is concerned. And, you know, you look at another layer to this, too. I can't help but think about Golden Tate in this whole scenario as well. Golden Tate is a former wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. He was a part of that Super Bowl-winning team. Great player. Golden Tate is a dynamic player. Leads the league right now when it comes to yards after catch. You know, how many times have we seen Matthew Stafford give a 5 to 7 yard dump off to Golden Tate, and Golden Tate busts it for a 25 to 30 yard gain? I mean, he's a great player. And the way things ended in Seattle with Golden Tate, him now to have an opportunity to enact some quote unquote revenge against his old team, he's going to be motivated by that. And in fact, he's already come out and said that when it comes to the media, this game means more to him because he gets a chance to play his old team. I can see Golden Tate maybe having a big game here, especially going against a Seattle Seahawks secondary that has not been good as of late. It is going to take a heroic effort from Matthew Stafford in order for the Detroit Lions to win this game. I just do not see it happening on the road in that stadium with the injury. I just don't see it happening. I want to know your thoughts, though. We'll take your calls this entire hour. It's just yourself and I throughout this hour, folks. Embracing sports talk in debate. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will give you a preview of the Michigan State men's basketball road matchup against the Penn State Nittany Lions. MSU men's hoops going to play at the Palestra, a historic basketball venue. We will also try to answer the question, what exactly is wrong with the Detroit Pistons? That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Obama saved the global economy, abandoned American workers.
If he had spent as much time talking about jobs as he spent talking about bank reform during his first term, we might be in a very different position today.
Obamanomics, a surprising legacy, next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway, today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
Jody Knoll is your host for Classical Music weekday mornings on 90.5 WKAR. We could see snow today, tonight, and Saturday. The high today in the mid-teens with a low of minus 2. Tonight's low 7, wind chills of 3 below. Tomorrow's high 18 with wind chills of minus 1. It'll be mostly sunny with a high of 20 on Sunday.
Our countdown to 2016 pledge drive surpassed its goal. Over 460 of you called or clicked, and together you donated almost $70,000. A big thank you. Your financial support will keep WKAR strong and will provide another year of outstanding classical music and quality news and sports programming to our Michigan Capital Region and beyond. Thanks again to all of those who donated, and Happy New Year. Our phone lines are open here on Current Sports. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to get your thoughts and predictions on the Detroit Lions NFC wild card matchup against the Seattle Seahawks at CenturyLink. Tomorrow night, the world will be watching. Can the Lions win their first playoff game in 25 years? And can they win their first road playoff game since 1957? That is the question. Before moving forward, so I want to address the Detroit Pistons and the recent troubles that they have had on today's show. I want to acknowledge PJ Fleck and issue a huge congratulations to Fleck as he now moves on up, like the Jeffersons, to a Big Ten school, and he is reportedly going to be the new head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. How about that? It's being reported that Fleck will receive a 5-year deal at Mini, a contract worth $18.5 million. This is a head coach who at WMU was getting paid $800,000 a year. Talk about a pay raise, right? This is what Fleck had to say in a statement to WMMT in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Quote, "It is with mixed emotions that I announce my decision to leave Western Michigan University for the head football coaching job at the University of Minnesota. Although I am grateful for and excited about this opportunity, this was a very difficult decision to make, one that involved much introspection and prayer. Heather, his wife, and I love Kalamazoo and the Western Michigan University family of staff, students, and alumni and fans. I simply feel called to take on this new challenge and to start a new chapter in my family's journey. I am proud of what we have accomplished together in Kalamazoo. I feel we have left WMU football in a much better place than when we arrived here. That was our mission. I'll always be your fan and friend, end quote. It was reported that Fleck and former LSU head football coach Les Miles both interviewed for Minnesota's vacant coaching job in the past few days, and Minnesota had decided to go with the young and up-and-coming, charismatic, energetic, walking Red Bull coach in P.J. Fleck. I'm happy for him. Now, I know Western Michigan University football fans out there are a bit disappointed, and you knew this was coming, though. You knew this was coming. I mean, P.J. Fleck, what he did with that WMU football team throughout his tenure there, the slogan, row the boat, plastered everywhere across campus, going to the Cotton Bowl. Granted, the Broncos did fall to the Wisconsin Badgers, but getting on that stage, the Cotton Bowl, what an accomplishment for a MAC football team. ESPN's College Game Day even spent a Saturday morning out there braving the blistery winter winds and snow. And that was so cool to see, though, WMU on the national stage like that. And I absolutely loved, and I brought this up multiple times, how ESPN did a feature where P.J. Fleck, from the moment he woke up to the time, it was like a midweek practice. But they followed P.J. Fleck from the moment he woke up to the time that he ended practice. And you got to see, you know, how he approaches each and every day. He lights a candle. He gives an inspirational speech to his team in the morning. He goes to practice, and you see his energy. You see the positivity brewing. You see the relationship that he has with the Bronco football players. Then you saw him in team meetings with his coaching staff, and there's a cool relationship there. He loves his guys there. I mean, he's just a dynamic young football coach who is going to do great things, I believe, at Minnesota. Minnesota fired coach Tracy Clays on Tuesday, just over 2 weeks after the football program became involved in the standoff with the administration over the suspension of 10 players in connections with allegations of sexual assault. It was an ugly way for Clays to leave the program. Even former football coach Jerry Kill, who had to leave the football program due to health concerns, Kill came out and publicly issued a statement voicing his displeasure with how the athletic department and school handled the firing of Tracy Clays. Really ugly, and so much so that at the beginning of the week, I didn't think that P.J. Fleck would enter a situation like that. But in hindsight, when evaluating the situation, P.J. Fleck now goes to a Big Ten school. Better players, an opportunity for better recruiting. Sky's the limit for him. It really is. And it was said that, you know, the player, coach, and administration dynamic was a bit damaged with this whole situation concerning these players who were accused of sexual assault. Rumors out there swirling around that a few players were seeking to transfer to other schools. You better believe now, with this hiring of P.J. Fleck, he'll easily change their minds. I really do believe that. Fleck is that kind of a coach. He's that kind of a personality. With this hiring, you have just injected a ton of life and a ton of hope for the future of Minnesota football. He's going to do a great job. He really is. I mean, Fleck got the Broncos to a 13-1 record this past season and a spot in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. The 36-year-old coach is 30-22 in 4 years at Western. The row the boat slogan. I mean, gosh. And he knows how to recruit. I mean, Fleck was the guy that recruited Corey Davis, who broke numbers. Historical wide receiver numbers while playing in the MAC at Western Michigan University. He goes down as statistically the most decorated wide receiver in Division I college football history. Fleck was the guy that saw potential in Corey Davis and countless others that came through that Kalamazoo program. So I'm excited for Fleck. Congratulations, Western Michigan football fans. I know you're feeling a bit indifferent when it comes to this whole situation, but in reality, you knew it was coming, and I think Western Michigan football is going to be good for years to come. Not sure who they're going to hire now. It won't be a PJ Fleck, but at the same time, the foundation, the new foundation that Fleck has crafted out in Kalamazoo is on the up and up. Very happy for him. Very happy for PJ Fleck. And still, my jaw is on the floor when evaluating what he was able to do out there. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I briefly want to bring this up as well because this has been a discussion that I've been wanting to have all week, and I'm briefly going to have that discussion here right now. But you look at – I briefly want to talk about the Michigan football team, specifically Jake Butt, the decorated tight end for the Wolverines. Butt is one of the few top players in college football that decided to participate. Well, I shouldn't say one of the few. There were many that decided to participate in countless bowl games, the 40-plus bowl games that we saw over this past weekend and weeks leading up to this past weekend. But Jake is a player who was slated to go in the top of the first round of this year's NFL draft. Jake decided to not go the Christian McCaffrey route, not go the Leonard Fournette route, and sit out of the bowl game for their college football teams. And Jake decided to play in that Orange Bowl game against Florida State. And most of you know what happened in that game. Jake Butt plays, and he tears his ACL. I cringed when I saw Jake Butt hit the gridiron. I cringed when I heard the news that he tore his ACL, because now this is a young man who has all the potential in the world. This is a young man who, if healthy, goes into the NFL draft as a high first-round pick. Now, with this ACL injury, there are going to be many NFL teams that are going to look at this situation with a side eye and say, okay, if he's not healthy, I mean, do we really want to risk drafting him? He's going to get drafted, without a doubt. But it's an injury now that has cost, but a lot of money. Potentially millions of dollars. And immediately after I saw that Jake Butt tore his ACL, I put on my Facebook page this, quote, "What happened to Jake Butt is the reason why I don't fault cats who decide to skip meaningless bowl games," end quote. And I did use the word meaningless, because that's the way I feel when it comes to the majority of these bowl games now. When it comes to the college football, this is the catch-22 of the college football playoff. We have become so enthralled now with who the top four teams are going to be that reach semifinal play and who are going to compete for a national championship. The way the system is set up now, everyone now looks at the rest of the bowl games, if they're not the college football playoffs, as just a game, a glorified exhibition game. At least that's the way I look at it.
Because, I mean, what are you playing for now? If you're not competing for a national championship, and in all means, when you, especially when it comes to the New Year's Six bowls, I mean, those are teams that had a shot at one point or another in a college football year to compete for a national championship. What are you playing for now if you're not playing for a college football championship, national championship? So I look at it like this. If you're a Leonard Fournette, if you're a Christian McCaffrey, and you're slated to go as a high pick in the NFL draft, first round, where you're going to be guaranteed millions upon millions of dollars, why would you risk injury in the final game of the year if you are not competing for the creme de la creme? I don't fault those young men. And it amazes me how there are many college football enthusiasts out there, many fans out there, that look at it and say, well, you know what, Al? You're doing a disservice to your team. Really? These are players that played all year. You're not going to compete for a national championship. You're guaranteed millions of dollars. And now you want me to risk millions of dollars for a glorified exhibition? Come on, man. Let's keep it real here. If you were in those player shoes, if you were in the shoes of a Butt, of a Fournette, of a McCaffrey, you're telling me you wouldn't seriously think about sitting out of that game because you got checks on the line? Stop it. So I put that on my status, and I got a few comments. I want to read here. This is coming from Dan Ray. Dan tunes into the show. He's a great listeners of ours. Dan said this, quote, "I guess I want to know what your definition of meaningless is. When is a game meaningful? Are you saying the minute a team is eliminated from the college football playoff that players should shut it down?" And I responded with this. No one cares about any bowl game now except those partaking in the college football playoff. Let's keep it real. The appeal for any other bowl game has now become minuscule. And then Dan followed up with, "I don't disagree, and I'm never going to be upset that the player is worried about their future. I do think that many of these bowl games do matter to the players, though. Jake Butt wanted to play and knows the risk, just like every other player, just like every other game, I should say, he played this season." And this is what I follow up with. When it comes to these players and these top potential picks, there has to be some insurance. This is where the NCAA needs to really sit down and say, okay, for those players who are slated to possibly go as high first-round picks or first-round picks, period, with that amount of money on the line, there has to be a system set up where if they do get hurt, they are still guaranteed some amount of money. There has to be, because it's not fair to them. It's just not, especially those who have spent 4 years giving their blood, sweat, and tears to college football. Steven says, he comments also on the status, "To a football player, every game, every down, every minute, every score should mean something. That's why they play the game from the heart and soul. Every sweat, my son is a football player, and their coaches tell them that every game means something to the player and his family. They're playing for their school." And I totally hear that. That's all good, fine, and dandy. However, when you talk about an injury that could cost you millions of dollars at the next level, all of that jazz goes out the window. You have to look out for you, because the NCAA sure isn't doing that. I get it's a team sport, and yeah, you want to be there next to your teammates, and you want to go out there and get a bowl and celebrate and all that jazz. But we're talking about the future of your career. We're talking about moolah. Makes no sense to go out there. Agree or disagree? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When I come back, I'm going to give you a quick preview of the Michigan State men's basketball game at Penn State at the historical Palestra Basketball Arena, and what exactly that arena means to not just college basketball, but the entire game. If those walls could talk, folks, and there are many that don't know much about the Palestra, so we'll talk about that. I'll also give you a quick synopsis of what exactly is going wrong with the Detroit Pistons. We'll continue to take your calls. Ray, I know I got you on line one. I'm going to get to you, my man, and we'll have Reflection Friday. All of that and more in the final 10 minutes here on WKAR AM 870. We'll be right back.
This weekend on WKAR's Current State, has the era of the community food co-op passed? The East Lansing Food Co-op is about to close, but ELFC leaders remain hopeful about recreating the concept elsewhere. We'll hear from two of them. And learn about an effort in Shiawassee County to assist its homeless. It's our Neighbors in Action segment featuring the organization Walls of Warmth. I'm Mark Bayshore. Join us for Current State Saturday at 11, Sunday at 4 on 90.5 FM.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is going to be a busy weekend in the world of sports, especially local sports and beyond, of course, but specifically on Saturday. I mean, you got the Lions playing, the Detroit Pistons play, the Red Wings play, the MSU men and women play. You know what we're going to do right now? The MSU women's basketball team will host Nebraska tomorrow night at the Breslin. If you're not glued to your television watching the NFL wild card games that night and you want to get out the house and have something to do, we're going to give away a pair of tickets right now as we speak to the Michigan State-Nebraska game. Caller number one, whoever calls in right now will win a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State women's basketball team as they host Nebraska. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The MSU men's basketball team will play at the Palestra. Oh boy, that name just sends chills up my spine every time I hear it, because you know I remember growing up and my grandfather would tell me about the Palestra. I mean, it's an unbelievable venue that has so much history. Those red bricks on 33rd Street in West Philly mean a lot. They really do. And on Saturday, Michigan State will take the floor to play Penn State at the Palestra. It will be the Spartans' sixth all-time visit there, but first since 1966. And the game was suggested by Pat Chambers, head coach of the team, and accepted by head coach Tom Izzo of Michigan State, who has long wanted to cross the Palestra off of his bucket list. And for a few reasons. I mean, in 1926, here's a quick history lesson for you all about the Palestra. The University of Pennsylvania, they went all in when it comes to the game of basketball. And they actually decided to build the Palestra. They wanted to build the largest basketball structure in the country at the time, using a multi-use arena, and it happened to be the Palestra. First game there was January 1st, 1927. Penn beat Yale in front of over 10,000 people in his house to witness it. It was a huge success, so much so that other universities across the entire nation decided to mimic it. Hinkle Fieldhouse opened at Butler. Gallagher Ilba Arena opened at Oklahoma State. Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke. They all mimicked or tried to mimic the Palestra. And over the years, I mean, we're talking about huge names. Huge names. Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain. The Big O, Oscar Robertson. The Logo, Jerry West. Dr. J, Julius Irvin. Bill Bradley, Calvin Murphy, Chris Mullin, Bob Lanier, Patrick Ewing, Adrian Dantley, even names of the likes of Kobe Bryant and LeBron James balled out at the Palestra when they were just in high school.
It's going to be a fun atmosphere. I can't wait to see it on television. And you better believe it's going to be one that that Tom Izzo is going to relish. He's going to take this one in before tip-off. You better believe. Walking no sidelines, some of the same sidelines that guys like John Wooden roamed. Going to be a fun game. Michigan State trying to go 4-0 to start the Big Ten Conference year. Michigan State, one of only three teams in the Big Ten Conference to start the season in conference undefeated. I want to go to line two right now. We've got our dear friend Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, we've only got 4 minutes left. I'll give you 1 minute. Ray, what's on your mind?
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ray.
Hey, did you call down there about Kurt Warner? 4 weeks from tomorrow is the day that he'll decide if he gets in probably the Hall of Fame so we can see the movie, The Kurt Warner Story. The number is 1-330-456-8207. You push operator, ask for Joe Horrigan, Secretary Chris. If we get him in, then we can see the movie, The Kurt Warner Story.
Ray, I cannot wait. It's on my to-do list. I'm one of those. I'm like you, Ray. I do believe that Kurt Warner deserves to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. I'm really crossing my fingers for him this time around. You are the biggest Kurt Warner fan, so I also want to see him get in just for your purposes, Ray.
Hey, the Rose Bowl and the Orange Bowl were great. Butts, did he tear his ACL up? And,
he
and
did.
Is Peppers coming out or what?
Peppers is coming out. There's rumors about him hiring an agent. He says that he has not officially hired an agent just yet. But, yes, unfortunately, Jake Butt did tear his ACL. And you better believe he is going to take a hit when it comes to his NFL draft stock come the NFL draft in a few months.
How long do you have to have surgery for?
Not sure. I don't know if those specifics have come out just yet, Ray.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. You know, we ever did that. I'll pray for his family. I hope he gets better.
We are all crossing our fingers when it comes to Mr. Butt.
God bless you, buddy.
Thanks, Ray, for the call.
Don't
always a good one.
Kurt Warner.
Go Kurt Warner, right? All right. Well, with just minutes left in the show, I want to close it out like we do each and every Friday. We love to reflect on the week that was here on Current Sports, bringing to you some of my favorite stories and a few stories that we didn't get a chance to elaborate on. We dub it Reflection Friday. All right, I just want to close out the show reflecting on my beloved Detroit Pistons. Now, the Pistons finally got a win last night at the Palace of Auburn Hills. It was a gritty one, folks. They allowed over 40 points in the fourth quarter to Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets. It was a battle left and right. They pulled it out, though. 115 to 114, the final. But the big question is, regardless of what they were able to pull out last night, there's a problem with the Detroit Pistons. And it really gets me, seeing as though, arguably, their best offensive talent in Reggie Jackson has returned, yet the team has gotten worse. I'm a bit puzzled by it, and the only thing I can point to is number one, defense, and number two, the lack of ball movement due to Reggie Jackson being inserted back into the lineup. I'll elaborate more on next week's Current Sports, but again, going back to the Detroit Lions again, looking for their first playoff win. In 25 years, I think the Seattle Seahawks pull it off. Yes, Lions fans, you can hate me. You can hate me. It's going to be a great atmosphere, though, at CenturyLink. Don't have a heart attack, Lions fans. It is going to be just okay. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. But I think it's going to be a good game at the end of the day as well. Rooting for them. We'll be back at it. We'll have a complete recap of the Detroit Lions game and so much more on Monday. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.
When delivering bad news to patients, Dr. Tracy Liu finds most don't want to hear abstract probabilities. They say,
tell me what happened to others who kind of looked like me, who made the same treatment choices I did. And tell me not only did they live or die, but tell me what their quality of life was about.
So Dr. Liu built a system to do just that on the next Morning Edition.
Morning Edition, Monday morning between 5 and 9 on 90.5 WKAR.
Maybe a little snow today, the high 14 and wind chills of 2 below.
A chance of snow and a low of 7 tonight with a wind chill of 3 below. Maybe some snow Saturday, the high 18, and wind chills of minus 1. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 20. Here, Morning Edition weekday starting at 5 on 90.5 WKAR with Brooke Allen.
You are listening to AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.